to come up here and give us some nice sharing. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Angie. I'm a recovered alcoholic. Happy New Year. I almost said Merry Christmas, but Merry Christmas too. Thank you, Stephanie, and Heather, too. I'm honored to be here, I'll say, first of all. And there's nothing I would rather do on New Year's Day than do this. And what's cool is that that is the truth. I think back 5 years ago, would I ever have thought I'd be doing this? Would I ever have wanted to do this? Hell no. You know, but on New Year's Day, what a great way to start the year, but not only for me, but what a great way to give some hope to somebody who is still suffering the way that I did. And, you know, this is simply 12-step work. You know, this is just carrying the message. This is just hopefully giving by telling my story, a little bit of my story, not a whole lot of it, but my experience before getting sober, and then, you know, what I was like, what happened, and what I'm like now. A little bit of strength that I only get from my higher power, and a little bit of hope, you know. Hopefully my experience will help that new person that's still maybe trying to figure out if they're alcoholic. Maybe they don't know. Yeah, I drank like that too. Or gosh, I did that too. What did you do? You know, that's my only intention. That's my only hope. When Stephanie asked me, I just like, absolutely, I'll be there. I would love to. And I appreciate Heather too. You know, I know Heather, and the fact that she's 9 months sober and she's out up here is what we're supposed to be doing. You know, and she's been doing it she's been carrying the message at a treatment center for months. You know, she got through these steps and had a spiritual experience, and she knows what the book says about how helping other people is vital to our recovery, vital. Thank you. Thank you. It's a great example. Somebody that's if you've been through the steps and you've had a spiritual experience, I don't care if you're 5 weeks sober, get on out there and help somebody else because you do have something to offer. You know, somebody out there wants to know how you got 5 weeks. You have to be sober for a year or two before you carry the message, but I don't know where that is in my book. It doesn't say it. My sobriety date is March 25th, 2006, and that is certainly not my first sobriety date. I've had a million. I started coming to AA, I believe it was my first meeting was maybe in 1994, maybe? I am from Texas, so I'm sorry if I talk funny. I'm not sorry. But my original home group, here is the primary purpose group in Laguna Niguel. But my original home group is in Dallas, Texas, and it's the primary purpose group in Dallas, Texas. And that's where I got sober, and I'm very proud of that because I went to a lot of meetings and a lot of groups, and I couldn't stay sober. And it's not the group that got me sober at all, but it is the group that I walked into finally. It was different. I saw people that were happy. I saw people that, were not talking about how bad their day was, and they weren't talking about how unhappy they were and mad they were that they couldn't drink. They were talking about cool things in life that they got back. They were talking about how their life had changed. They were talking about how they don't think about drinking. And, you know, off on a corner, in a corner, there was somebody working with a newcomer, taking them through the steps with the big book open, and there was laughter, and I just hadn't experienced too much of that before, going to meetings, that's where I got my sponsor, and so I'm proud of that group. And the only difference is they're in the solution, you know, they're in the solution. And I know that a lot of us go to meetings looking for solution, and we hear a lot of everything except the solution. So I am absolutely going to incorporate that the solution, which is the steps, into my story because it's a huge part of my story. It's huge. I was not one of these that had their first drink at 5 and loved it and thought, oh my God, I can't, I just, you know, this is my solution. Like we have problems at 5, you know, this is my solution to life's problems. I had my first drink at 13, like Heather, and I shared like one beer. It was a big beer, one of those real tall boys, with like 7 girls at age 13, and, you know, took about a sip and a half each, you know, passed it around. It was at a slumber party. It was fun, but it wasn't any, it was more, let's be cool, you know, this is what we've seen our parents do, no big deal. I had another drink when I was maybe 16, and then I started drinking a little bit more, just partying a little bit in high school, you know, no big deal either. I still hadn't, it still just wasn't a big deal. I believe that after high school, when it was time to go to college, which I did not want to do, but it was kind of a deal where I was scared to death, but it was a kind of a deal where, okay, that's kind of the next thing to do, and my dad was generous enough to offer to pay for it if I went, but I didn't do very well in high school, and I was having trouble getting in colleges. But anyway, I noticed at that point when I got into a college that didn't require a very large SAT score, I remember being very fearful, and that's kind of when I started drinking more. I would have a drink, and I wouldn't be so scared of you. I wouldn't be so nervous to go on that date. I wouldn't be so nervous to go to that party. And I kept doing it. Why? Because it worked. You know, alcohol works for us for a long, long time, and that's why we keep doing it. That's why I kept doing it. Drank more and more and more, and it was actually not causing any problems. You know, it was actually fun. There is a point where drinking is a blast. It's fun. I mean, I'm not going to lie. You know, I crossed that line into alcoholism where it became something I needed to function, and that's when the crap hits the fan. But, you know, the problem was I got to a point where I would stop drinking, and what was going on inside of me is what I wasn't looking at. You know, what was going on inside is I started getting depressed. I started getting even more fearful. I started feeling even less than, and a drink would fix that, so I would drink more. So it was just like this circle, you know, I would drink more. I'm going to kind of jump ahead. The reason I'm not going to go into a lot of what happened to me, and I can tell you the DWIs that I got, I can tell you the jobs that I lost. I drove kids around when I was a nanny, drunk all the time. Did some horrible stuff, stole some beer from a store, you know, stole a lot, lied my ass off. That's just my experience. That's my experience. And for a newcomer in here, I hope that helps you see that, man, if you drink that way too, maybe you'll listen closely. But what I really want to focus on is how it made me feel inside, what it did to me internally. Because we all drink and got drunk and do crazy ass things. I mean, that's just the truth. We do. We get naked in pools at parties, kiss people that aren't our husband or boyfriend, sneak in doggy doors at 7 a.m. in your neighbor's house to get beer. Actually, I can laugh about it now, but it was desperate then. It was desperation. I needed that. But my stories, it's just for you to relate to. What's really important is what happened, because what I was like was a liar, a cheater, somebody who could not be trusted, somebody who did not show up for work, just said, screw it, I don't give a crap what anybody thinks. I didn't care about anybody but myself. That's what I was like. People didn't want to be around me anymore. I was a slob. I was a mess. That's what I was like. What happened was it got so bad throughout probably a 5-year time period. I did get married, and my husband knew that I was an alcoholic, but we thought marriage would fix it. You know, get married, maybe start a family, that's going to fix it. I did start going to AA, but I didn't really know what it meant to be an alcoholic. But I was losing friends, and I was not able to keep a job, and my friends had told me that you're getting weird and you're not showing up for things, and so it was something to look at. And then, of course, when you get a DWI, you're sent to AA as punishment. So I was going to AA. I was not really going because I wanted to get sober, because I still didn't think I was really an alcoholic. I didn't know what that was. I was really going to get the court card signed. And it wasn't a bad thing. It wasn't a bad deal until a little bit later, until I you know, was going every day and every day and every day. And it kind of started getting depressing. I heard a lot of other people's problems, and it was a great opportunity for me to spew all my crap that's going on. And I did, you know, and I actually would leave the meeting feeling relief. You know, I felt relief because so-and-so had problems too, just like I did. And then I felt relief because so-and-so has done prison time and all this stuff, and man, I haven't done that yet, so they're worse off than I am, so I don't feel quite so bad. You know, and I was walking out of there still with the internal condition. I still wanted to drink. I still knew that that helped me. That made me feel better. I was still scared to death of people. I was still, I mean, I'm talking scared, you guys, to walk to the mailbox. You know, I had to have a few beers to go into the grocery store, because I just knew everybody was looking at me, and they knew what I'd been doing, and they knew that I was just a loser. And I kind of jumping it way ahead, I got to a point where I needed this alcohol. I was not drinking to have fun or party anymore. The party was over. I physically needed it. I timed myself one time. This is true. I timed myself one time, took a drink, timed myself to see how long it was until I started feeling scared, breathing hard, you know, shaky, until I needed another sip of that beer. And it was 7 minutes. And I would take that sip of beer, and man, I was okay for about 7 more minutes. And then I took, that's physically needing alcohol. You know, that's the allergy that the book talks about in the doctor's opinion. I have a drink, I set off that phenomenon of craving simply because my body's different. I'm an alcoholic. My body is different. That's it. It's as simple as that. That's why I'm powerless. But it got to a point where I just totally needed it. These AA meetings, I finally discovered, yes, I'm an alcoholic, but I thought it was because I got a DWI, because I have to have a drink every 7 minutes, because I didn't know at that point I had to have it. I really wanted it. I thought that I just wanted it because I'm a party animal, because I have a hard time saying no. That's what I'm thinking. On through, I kept relapsing. I was a chronic relapser. I had some sponsors, but they would say, we're not gonna start the steps until you have 30 days sober. I couldn't freaking get 30 days sober. How is that gonna work? You know? I'm climbing the walls after about 2 weeks. I will go on a binge, 4 or 5 day binge. I will wake up the next morning, I will swear it off. I'm not going to do this again today. I'm not going to drink today. I mean, I'm like crying, and I'm praying to God, which I don't even know why, because I wasn't, you know, I really didn't have any kind of a relationship with God. But you know that begging prayer, that foxhole prayer they call it? God, please just do something. I knew I was in trouble, but I just didn't know what the deal was. So I'm relapsing, and I'm jumping around different groups. And when I get up for my 11th desire chip at one group, I am saying it's too humiliating. I can't go back and get a 12th one. You know, I'm embarrassed. And I would go to another group. And so I covered all of Dallas, and I'd go to Fort Worth, and I'd go everywhere. And I'm, in the meantime, I'm lying about my sobriety date too. You know when you lie and you're not honest about it, and you go into a group and you know you're lying, and you just drank like 3 days ago, and you're just like, oh my God, just don't talk, just get through the meeting because I got to show up so people know I'm not drinking. Crazy, you know. I'd quit AA for about a year. I can do this on my own. I can do it on my own. AA doesn't work, obviously, because I'm not able to stay sober. You know, I really don't know crap about these steps because I have a big book, but it's in my trunk. And we don't bring the big books in the meetings. Now, I'm not saying all meetings are like that. There certainly are meetings that study the book, and that's awesome. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But the ones that I, just my experience, the ones I was going to were not. So I'd relapse, and I finally just said, I'm going to do this on my own for like a year, year and a half. And could I do it? What do y'all think? No. Self-help books, I thought that was the deal. You know, I just need to be more confident with myself. You know, I just need to learn how to be more outgoing. And so I got a book on self-confidence. And I'm telling you, I had a million self-help books. You know, it's because of my childhood. It's because my parents got divorced. I just need to find a father figure in my life. You know, just whatever. And I found out later the truth is it has nothing to do with what happened in my childhood. Sadly, things happen in our childhood. I know people that a lot worse have happened to them, and they're not alcoholic. Can that exacerbate the problem? Absolutely. Yeah. But it's not what caused my alcoholism. I learned that later. So I'm reading self-help books. I'm trying to get some exercise. I start going to church. I move a lot. And I stay sober for a little bit. I stay sober for a little while. But it doesn't last very long. In the meantime, I get married, and it's worse and worse and worse. You know, that wasn't the solution. Marriage wasn't the solution. So I'm just totally screwed, and I get really, really, really bad, and have tried everything else. And I really, truly think that this is just the way life's going to be. And I'm just going to relapse every 2 weeks, go back to AA, hope I make it through the relapse. Detox, go back to AA, stay sober for a while. It's just going to be like that and die really young. It's just the way it is. But I got to a point where I got really, really sick. I don't even know how much I weighed, but hardly anything because I wouldn't eat when I would just drink. And finally, my sister-in-law suggested I go to treatment. And I'm like, no way, because that is for really sick people. That's for like crazy sick alcoholics. And I didn't want to admit that was me. All I knew is I couldn't stop. So finally I agreed to go, and I was really drunk when I said yes. But smart on their part when they kind of intervened me, and finally I said yes. I know that I didn't say yes. I really believe it was something much more powerful that just came out and said go. And so I went, and I'll tell you what, it was the smartest thing I ever did because it got me physically separated from the alcohol. I needed to be away from the home where the booze was. I needed to be away from the 5 liquor stores on the corner surrounding my house. I needed to be away from that. I needed to be separated so I could detox and get my head. I needed a medical detox, too. Treatment centers are great for that. It's necessary sometimes. And I learned a lot. I did also, you know, I did arts and crafts, and we got to play sports there, and we got to go on walks, you know, I went to a place in Texas, and, you know, that was nice and cool, but it didn't do anything to treat my internal condition. I got a lot of therapy, which I think I probably needed, but how do I say this? because I'm not bashing treatment centers, I went to one, and thank God. But what I was learning I had process groups and all that. I needed to talk about stuff. But what I was learning in certain parts of my treatment was about a spiritual program. And I was learning that no exercise or no human power was going to keep me sober. And human power is therapists. Human power is doctors giving me antabuse, you know. Human power is church, a preacher. You know, it's a group of people. I needed something more. And so that's what I was learning when I went to these big book studies when I was in treatment. The treatment was helpful. But when I got clean and aware of this program and stepped out that treatment center, I better get busy because I'm not cured just because I spent $25,000 on a treatment center and went away for 30 days. How many people have been to treatment more than once? Yeah. I mean, I know some people that have been 13 times, and I'm totally not bashing treatment centers. I'm just saying that if treatment was the fix, we'd all go once and we'd be great. We'd be fine. I needed to do what I learned in that treatment center. Does that make sense? So I heard that. And a wonderful man there showed me the big book. And I said, oh, I've got three of those. You know, I got three of those. But I was clueless what it said. Yes, I had read it before. It meant nothing. It meant nothing when I read, you know, my old sponsors would say, oh, read Dr., you know, or read Bill's story. Doctor's opinion, actually, I didn't even know was in there until I'm 7 years in AA, which is embarrassing to say, but no, you know, it wasn't pointed out to me. But, you know, I read Bill's story, and I read there was a solution, but it didn't mean anything because I had not understood what the problem was. And so I couldn't relate to that, you know. This man in the treatment center, and I'm gonna take you guys to this page. Well, page 24, if you have your books. This is something that changed my life. This absolutely changed my entire life, my entire opinion about sobriety, my entire opinion about this 12-step program that I really didn't think worked at all. I hadn't done it, but I just thought there was no way. It says on page 24, the fact is that most alcoholics, for reasons yet obscure, have lost the power of choice in drink. And I will admit to you, when he read that to me, I thought, okay, cool, I've lost the power of choice. See, I have no choice, so therefore I can just drink. But see, writing, I mean, really, I was like looking, still looking for an out so that I could drink. See, I'm different. I'm an alcoholic. That's the way it's going to be. On the very next page, though, on page 25, right across from that, it says there is a solution. So, darn it. Continuing on that paragraph on 24, it says, our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent. This is in italics also, so it's probably important. Our willpower becomes practically non-existent. So how many of you guys have loved ones, family members, friends that are non-alcoholics that just say, oh my gosh, just say no. Just stop. Just practice a little more willpower. Just be stronger. And if you're the real alcoholic, and what I mean by that is sick in the mind and sick in the body, you know you've got this physical allergy that when you put one drink in, you have another. And you know that mental obsession is there too that tells you a week after you've had a drink, oh, this time it'll be different. This time I can handle it. This time I'll just have two. If you've got that stuff going on and you're the real alcoholic, we're thinking in our minds when our loved ones say that to us, you don't understand. I can't do that. And in their mind, I mean, I remember my dad saying, just stop. Just limit yourself. Just don't get carried away. It's real easy. Well, Dad's not an alcoholic. Dad can pull that off. When Dad has a glass of wine, he does not set off that phenomenon of craving. I do. You know, don't you love us enough? If you loved us more, you would stop. Guys, it has nothing to do with love. I know women that lose custody of their children. And what are they doing 3 days later? They're drinking. Is it because they don't love their kids and they don't want their kids? No. It's exactly what Heather was talking about and what the rest of this paragraph says. Our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent. We are unable at certain times to bring into our consciousness with sufficient force the memory and the suffering and humiliation of even a week or a month ago. We are without defense against the first drink. That's what was going on with me. I had no defense. Nothing I had tried was going to change it. Not church, not getting a new husband, not getting around a new crowd of friends, not moving to San Francisco from Texas, not anything. Because certainly Dallas, Texas was the problem, right? Too many bars there. Go to treatment. I hear this stuff. It wakes me up. Wow. And then he said that he was a recovered alcoholic. And I was like, what the hell does that mean? You know, I'm going to stop right there for a second and throw a few things in. I had a guy, I was at a treatment center. I don't remember which one it was, but it was just a couple weeks ago. And I read, I said, recovered alcoholic. And you know, and I think a lot of people think, I'm just saying, I don't know that for sure, but I think they think I'm saying I'm cured of alcoholism. And that's not true. My book tells me I'm not cured. I'm recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body. I've worked the steps, gotten connected with a higher power. God keeps me sober today. God removed that obsession to drink. I do not have any desire to drink today, and I haven't for almost 6 years. That's recovered. Recovered from a hopeless state of mind. Not that I'm not an alcoholic anymore. I'm absolutely an alcoholic, and I have the physical allergy as I'm standing here right in front of you. I just don't have the obsession. But I had this guy say to me, and this happens a lot, but it's okay, it's cool, it's an opportunity to tell somebody the truth and open up the book and show them where it says, recovered like 18 times. He said, is that a new thing? And he had been in AA for 8 years or 9 years, and he'd never heard that before. He said, is that a new thing? And I said, I mean, it's a good question, because if you're not opening the book, how would you know? You know? And I said, no, it's not a new thing. And I took him to the title page where it says the story of over 1,000 people have recovered from alcoholism, and it says it everywhere in the book. When this man said this to me at the treatment center, when he told me he was a recovered alcoholic, what hope that brought to me. That changed my life. You mean I don't have to be suffering every day for the rest of my life? I also heard someone say the other day that they were told that they were going to suffer every day, and that it was going to be something they had to deal with every day and think about every day. And I'm sorry. I have to say, I feel sorry for you. That's not what my big book says. My big book says I get to get free of this, and I get to live an awesome, cool life and not suffer every day. That's cool, you know? But in the book, it tells us how we can recover, and it tells us how we can, as long as we do certain things. You know, can we get sick again? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely can we. We can. But I hear, you know, people posing this question a lot. We're questioning recovered, and that's fine. That's cool. I don't care what you call yourself, but I know in my heart that I am recovered, and if my book says that, I think it's my ego if I don't say that, because I'm afraid of what people are going to think. Because it's the truth. You know, it's the truth, and I really believe in speaking the truth. Back to my story, I got out of treatment, I was scared to death. You know, I had worked steps 1, 2, and 3, but in treatment. And anyway, I went to this group when I got out and found a sponsor, and she was no nonsense, you know. She said, are you done? First of all, she qualified me. She took me to page 44 where there's two questions that if you're not sure you're an alcoholic, there are two questions you can ask yourself. If when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking you have little control over the amount you take. Either or. Check, check. This is me. And when she qualified me, making sure I was the real alcoholic, because some people do still have the power of choice, and if you do, choose no. Choose no, I'm not going to drink today, and see you later. You don't need to be here. But I had lost that power to choose. I drank no matter what. She qualified me. She said, are you done? My book talks about permanent sobriety. Nowhere in here does it say, let's get sober for a little bit and then relapse, and then you can, you know. It doesn't even talk about one day at a time. It says I get to live my life one day at a time. I don't have to think about staying sober every day. If I live in 10, 11, and 12, I'm living the way God wants me to live, and I'm staying close to God, and that's what I get to rely on today. She said, are you done? Yes. She said, are you willing to take direction? Yes. She said, we are going to do this work the way they did it back in the day, the way Bill and Dr. Bob intended this program to be, the way that when we had a 92% success rate in AA, when they were going through the work quickly, thoroughly, yes, but quickly, we're going to do it that way. And if you have any problem with that, that's cool, but you need to go find somebody else to sponsor you. I thought she was very rude at first, and now I love her. She's still my sponsor today. I love her to death for telling me the truth, because I know she cared about me enough to tell me the truth. And she knew that patting me on the back and saying, darling, you're going to be okay. If you relapse, don't worry about it. Just come back. Just come back. Just go to more meetings. Just, you know, that wasn't the truth. And that wasn't going to help me at all. So we got started on the steps, and I did 1, 2, and 3 in one day. And I can't tell you, I didn't have a spiritual experience for several weeks. You know, actually about 4 weeks. Everybody's different, but I'm telling you, I promise you, if you work these steps, it will happen. There's no doubt about it. We've lost some of our urgency on. We've lost some of our motivation. We've lost a lot of our... We forget that this is a disease that kills, you know? We forget... We have a few drinks. We go through a bad, bad spree. We wake up remorseful with a firm resolution to stop. We stay sober for a little bit. And we forget how desperate we were when we were coming off that drunk. And we were... I remember how desperate I was. I was crying and, oh, my God, I'm going to die. But after some time goes by, we forget this frickin' disease kills people. It is killing somebody right now, this very second out there somewhere. And we don't think it's going to be us. But I'm telling you, take it from somebody who, no exaggeration, probably 3 times a week I get an email that somebody has died. I got an email today that somebody had relapsed. Bless his heart, you know. And he told me it's because he didn't finish his steps. He stopped at step 5. But when you get these emails and you hear of people that have died, that they don't have to, you know, it's heartbreaking. And we forget the urgency, and we forget how important it is that if we understand this book, we can't force anybody to do anything in AA. It's not my job to force anybody to have everybody have big book meetings, you know. But it is my responsibility as a recovered alcoholic who's been through these steps and know it works and living proof up here that it can work to share that with you guys the way somebody did it with me. Thank God somebody told me the truth. You know, I wouldn't be alive right now. You know, we tell people a lot of times, and guys, I am so guilty of doing it. Before I actually got into this big book and I was going to a lot of meetings, I'm so guilty of doing this because I just didn't know any better. We tell a lot of people, we tell a lot of newcomers, oh, just keep coming back and just fake it till you make it. And just put that plug in that jug and come back or double up on your meetings. Meetings makers make it. Sit on your hands. Just don't drink in between meetings. Play that tape through. All this stuff. Where is that in the textbook of Alcoholics Anonymous? Let me ask you this. And I said it, y'all. I said it. I wish I could take it back because that's actually harming people. If I tell somebody to put the plug in the jug, and they can do that, and they think that's all they have to do is go to more meetings and put the plug in the jug, that implies that they have the power to keep themselves sober. Just stop. Just put the plug in the jug. Just don't drink. Just don't drink in between meetings. Just play that tape through, and you'll remember how bad it was, and you won't drink. Did that work for anybody? I remember, I remember waking up in jail, just like Heather was talking about. I remember waking up in jail. It was bad. It was horrible. The lemonade was gritty. It was stinky. It was crowded. It was yucky. I said, I'm never drinking again. Guess what I'm doing about 9 days later? I remember I went to jail. Was I able to bring into my consciousness with sufficient force that memory to keep me away from the next drink? No. Guess what happens? A week later, I get another DWI because I'm driving drunk. Get thrown in jail again. Same exact experience. Bologna sandwiches. Horrible. Horrible. No mayo. And once again, this is it. This is definitely my bottom. This is definitely my bottom. Not knowing that really my bottom is death. You know, nothing bad enough can happen. Get out of jail. 3 weeks later, what do you think I'm doing? Drinking and driving again. And then I get a PI. You know? No steps, untreated alcoholism, I'm going to drink again. Because I'm not going to remember how bad it was. So just all I'm asking is just think about it before you tell somebody, just fake it till you make it. It rhymes, it's cute. Somebody really that was good at poetry back in the 70s, I think, made that up. But it's not in my big book. Once again, and I'll just stress this again, and I'm telling you these guys with love, I really am, because it scares me to death how many people we are hurting by saying that stuff. Instead, tell them, get your butt working these steps so you can have a psychic change. And your personality can change, and you will react different to things, and you will get connected to something that's going to save your butt since we can't do it, and the obsession's going to be removed, and then you can get out there and help other people, and you never have to drink again. Tell them that. Once again, putting the plug in the jug, that implies that I have the power. My book tells me I am powerless. I have no power. I have no power. So also I just ask you, check with the textbook of Alcoholics Anonymous before you say stuff. You know, I have made so many mistakes doing that. But when you study the book and you go to big book studies, that's where we get to learn. That's where we get to learn the truth. The truth is, and it's exactly what Heather read too, the truth is, I'm screwed. I'm screwed without a power higher than me, and I'm screwed just going to 30 meetings a week and not doing anything but these steps. I mean, meeting makers make it. We hear that too. But I was making a lot of meetings, guys, and I wasn't making it. I wouldn't make it in life. There's nothing wrong with meetings. Don't care if you go to 4 meetings a day. Just make sure you're doing this stuff, these steps also, you know. But that paragraph that Heather read, on page 24, at a certain point in the drinking of every alcoholic, he passes into a state where the most powerful desire to stop drinking is of absolutely no avail. All right? So the thought is it's not going to be powerful enough. I just have a few minutes, right? To end my story, I got with a sponsor. I got through these steps in about a month. And the way they did it back then, actually, they used to do it a lot faster than that. And she told me she would not sponsor me unless I got out there and carried the message, doing stuff like I'm doing now. Thank God, you know. I don't get to just sit around and, I'm sober today as long as I don't drink. You know, I'm good. I got to give this back in order to keep it. That's the beauty of it. Living in 10, 11, and 12 keeps me there and keeps that obsession away. And it's pretty darn cool, so I'm going to keep doing it. There's some cool stuff I want to share. I kind of lost track of time, but I do want to say that, and it goes back to how important this 12-step work is. People that relapse, I know this from experience. It's because you can ask them two questions. Where are you with God today? And who are you helping today? Who are you sponsoring today? Where are you carrying the message? And the answer is always, I haven't prayed in months, or I didn't finish my step. It's always going to be that. It's not going to be, well, because my husband called and we got in a big fight and I got angry, so I drank. No, that's not why. We all have problems. We all have bad things happen to us. And if we're going to drink every time something bad happens to us, say goodbye now. You know, I'll tell you what, I'm sober and happy and free, but I got a lot of stuff going on in my life right now, but my mind does not go to a drink. Let me read something to you. I did write it down on paper just so I wasn't flipping like crazy through the book. This is what the big book says about our primary purpose. It's to stay sober, yes, but it's to help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. That's how I'm going to stay sober. I won't read too many of them. There's too many. But here it says on page XVI, he suddenly realized that in order to save himself, he must carry his message to another alcoholic. Page XVII, it also indicated that strenuous work, one alcoholic with another, was vital to permanent recovery. Page XXV, as part of his rehabilitation, he commenced to present his conceptions to other alcoholics, impressing upon them that they must do likewise with still others. Page 14, particularly was it imperative to work with others as he has worked with me. Page 15, I soon found that when all other measures failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. Page 89, practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as much as intensive work with other alcoholics. Page 89 again, carry this message to other alcoholics. On and on and on and on. Page 97, helping others is the foundation stone of your recovery. I think they're trying to tell us something. You know? It doesn't say, go to as many meetings as you can, and you'll be okay. You better get out there, and if you have a message to carry, if you know the message, if you've had a spiritual experience, get out there and do it. It is the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Before there were meetings, before there was a program, and it was called Alcoholics Anonymous, and the meetings are named after that. Before there was a book, there was a program called Alcoholics Anonymous. So I encourage you guys. You know, the coolest thing about this New Year's and Christmas, well, probably the funniest thing was when my boyfriend asked me if he forgot his vitamins, and he asked me if he took a women's one a day, if he would turn into a little girl. And I cracked up at that, but that wasn't, well, I just looked at you and I thought of that. But what was so neat, you guys, is being in my apartment last night and being able to go upstairs to my neighbor's house, who they all drink, and there's wine and there's champagne and everything, but you know, we're watching some Olympic thing on TV that my neighbor was a part of, and it was so cool, and there was really good food, and it was so fun, and it wasn't about the drinking. And we got to go. It's not like we had to stay in the apartment because we're afraid we're going to drink, you know? We got to go today down to the beach and go to a pub and have the best damn burger I have ever had, you know? And there's drunk people around us, and we got to go. We didn't have to be afraid of that, you know? That's freedom, and that's what this program brings. 5 years ago, New Year's, I am waiting until it's midnight so I can go to bed, so I can go downstairs to my kitchen and mark off with a big red X on my calendar, oh, I didn't drink today. Thank God. Can I do it tomorrow? You know, and it's just miserable. That's not freedom. And I did that for a long, long time. So I just hope that something that I've said tonight can give. If you haven't tried anything that I've said, and I've really tried to keep it in the steps and not my opinion, I don't think I did, because who gives a crap about my opinion? My opinion, somebody's opinion didn't get me sober. It was the big book and the truth that did. I hope that somebody heard something that they can, I don't know, talk to me after the meeting. Maybe it'll inspire you to pick up this book and read it a little bit. Talk to a real alcoholic that's been through these steps, that's maybe recovered, that's had that spiritual experience and can tell you, you know, it's a great life. It doesn't have to be a life of doom. You don't have to go back to a treatment center ever again, you know. It's expensive. It's expensive. Thank you guys so much, and I hope everybody has a great, great New Year's. Thank you for your time.